You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome to episode number 482 of Locked On Raptors for Sunday, March 24th, Monday, March 25th, whenever you're listening to it. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter, as always, at WoodleySean. Find the show at Locked On Raptors, where you can find links to every single episode. And, of course, make sure you're checking out the Locked On Podcast Network, team-focused shows for all 30 NBA teams. We've got Locked On Fantasy Basketball. We've got Locked On NBA Daily with a bunch of different hosts chipping in there. We've got so much for you to check out on the Locked On Podcast Network. And make sure you're finding it on whatever podcast app or platform you use, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, and now Himalaya, a brand new podcast app that we have a partnership with the Locked On Podcast Network. Fantastic for curating your own playlists and kind of just like personalizing your podcast experience in a way you haven't been able to do before. So make sure you download Himalaya and listen to the podcast over there. And I'll stop pleading for I lost my train of thought. I don't know what I was saying. I'll stop pleading for vindication and validation, and that's the word I was looking for. And we'll move on to today's podcast. I'm joined by, I'm guessing, a pretty rattled as I am, Jay Rosales, after the Raptors lost 115-114 to the Hornets. Jay, how's it going, man?
Hey, it's going well. I'm doing a little bit better than I thought. After a game like this, with an insane ending like that, I imagine that you get as many messages and texts about how crazy an ending it is and whatever. And there's one guy who always comments and asks me, what the hell happened? And I've been saying this for him for like the last month, relax, so in the regular season, top of the playoffs and blah, blah, blah. But I gotta admit, I think you would probably agree, if there was a way to lose a game, especially with, at least from a Raptor standpoint, how low the stakes were for us, that was a pretty cool way to lose.
Hell yeah. That's a cool-ass loss, man. I don't care. Of course, if people haven't seen the game yet, I'm sure you'll get out from under your rock soon. But Jeremy Lamb hit a, like, I don't know, more than half-court heave at the end of regulation to take the lead for the Hornets and win the game at the buzzer. It was absolutely fucking bananas. Like, the last shot I've seen like that in a Raps game was Kyle Lowry in game one against the Heat a few years back, and that ended up in a loss and only sent it to overtime. This was for the win for the Hornets, who were like pretty close to being out of the playoff picture and are fighting for their lives, and they're staying in it with that heave by Jeremy Lamb. It was insane. And the way it all happened, you know, the Raptors in this game started off really well. The first quarter was beautiful. They had some really great flow to their offense. Marc Gasol, everyone was freaking out on Friday because he only took one shot. It was a weird thing for people to fixate on, but they did. He had himself a really nice game. He had 17 points. He started off really well offensively, hit a three or two, and then Pascal Siakam was doing his thing, Kawhi Leonard doing his thing, and I thought the offense looked really good. And then it kind of stagnated a little bit, and the bench units were not particularly strong. Serge Ibaka, you know, still not the most, he's not the driver of like positive play when he's out there at this point. Same with Jeremy Lin, same with OG. OG was particularly weak in this one. Patrick Mokotu, like, these guys were not particularly good off the bench, and it kind of caused the Raptors to bleed it away a little bit. Fourth quarter comes around, they're down, I believe, 10 going into the fourth, and I think it goes up to 17 at one point. And the Raptors make a really fantastic comeback, kind of all on the back of Pascal Siakam. I mean, like, Kawhi had a really great fourth quarter offensively, and he had some amazing plays late in the game. But Siakam in the fourth was just, like, everywhere. He was playing small ball center. He was, like, just, like, tearing it up. I think he must have made, an outstanding defensive play against, like, four or five different Hornets over the course of, like, 6 minutes. It was absurd watching him on the defensive end in this one. And then he had a couple leakouts, and he hit a three earlier on in the game. Like, he was 23 points with 7 boards and 5 assists. Like, he was fantastic again offensively, too. Jay, you did not quite get to catch the whole game. I think you've caught the condensed version by this point, but any takeaways from this one on top of just like the diarrhea of the mouth that I dispute out there?
No, I think that there are still quite a few positives that you can take out of this game from a Raptor standpoint. I mean, Charlotte did need 18 three-pointers in order to, especially that last one, in order to pull out this victory. The comeback was obviously great for not only our confidence, but just to see the kind of fight that we've got. If there's one thing that I really liked, it was that closing lineup. Siakam at center is something that I've been wanting to see all season. Mm-hmm. I think when the season first started and when we had started to all kind of picture what an ideal lineup would look like for the Raptors, for me it was having Siakam at center. And at the time, you know, at the beginning of the season, it would have been OG instead of Fred VanVleet.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing that lineup out there just gave me goosebumps. And, you know, outside of that amazing, you know, impossible shot at the end, it would have worked, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Danny Green blocked from behind on Lamb, and you know, mind you that final offensive play for the Raptors wasn't that fantastic, but still, there were some promising signs from that. And yeah, I mean, if that's what it's going to take to beat the Raptors, you know, then bring it on, because I'm full on ready to see what we've got for the playoffs. And again, give me more Siakam at center in those closing seconds.
Yeah, the Siakam and center minutes have been really good. There have been a few games where that's been something they've gone to. I think a Boston game maybe earlier this year. There's a few other ones. The New Orleans game where they did it and they got burned by Etuan Moore and Drew Holiday hitting 30-footers on their heads. That was the first time they tried it out. And it was not, you know, the best results, and they had some struggles rebounding in that game. But, you know, for the most part, they've been really good with Siakam at center. Like, I don't know the exact numbers in front of me right now, but I would imagine the net rating is extremely, extremely high with Pascal playing center. And it just allows them to do so much on defense. And Siakam, like, just switching everywhere, right? Like, that's the kind of defense that you're going to see, I think, in a lot of playoff series too, right? Like, they haven't done a ton of switching this season the way, say, like the Houston Rockets kind of do all the time, or at least they did all the time last season, but they have it in their bag to do it. And, you know, they're kind of hurt a little bit, I guess, in that regard, because OG's been a little bit hit and miss. He had a couple pretty boneheaded plays today. So without him, it gets a little bit more difficult to have those, like, huge across-the-board arms lineups. But the one they had out there today was with Fred VanVleet, Norm Powell, Danny Green, Kawhi, and Siakam. And then they put in Lowry for Powell later on in the game, and that was still really good too. And it was all just, like, it was really, really nice and effective. And I agree. There should be more Pascal center going forward, and hopefully, you know, this was a game we haven't touched on it because the finish was so nuts, but this was the first time all season, or at least since the trade, where they've had everyone on the roster available.
Love it.
And it's, I wasn't shocked that we saw some weird rotation stuff and Nick Nurse kind of experimenting a little bit and trying some weird stuff out, because, like, he's got all of his toys now, man. He can just kind of, like, use whatever he wants. And because these games mean nothing, I'm not going to get or read too much into these little, you know, weird forays into strange, you know, four-man bench lineups and stuff like that. Like, I think he's trying to see what he has. He's trying to figure out who's going to figure into those last couple spots in the rotation come playoff time, because there's very much a competition between, I would say, four guys right now, and OG, Powell, Lin, and McCaw. I would bet only two of those guys, maybe even just one, ends up playing a lot in the playoffs. So, like, this is a time when these games matter very, very little for the Raps to kind of test some shit out. And I thought Nurse did a good job doing that tonight. Anything else from this game before we move on?
Yeah, it's just to that point about having a full roster. I remember when I wrote about this game for my weekly wrap-up article, you know, I write those things on Sunday nights and it goes out on Monday morning, so trying to predict what's going to happen for a game that's 6 days away is kind of tough. I remember predicting that, like, you know, we're probably going to see a full lineup for the OKC home and home, and then for sure we're probably going to have Kawhi on some sort of load management game for Sunday against the Hornets. So welcome surprise, you know, that not only Lowry was able to come back from his ankle injury, but that Kawhi is playing more, right? Mm-hmm. This, for me, it screamed load management game. So it was good to see him, and the effect of the full roster there really showed in the game. I mean, if we look at Kemba Walker, 3-for-17,
mm-hmm.
that's a great way to shut down their superstar player. And even in those last couple of seconds, I believe the Hornets had about 4.3 seconds, and the Raptors still had a foul to give, and you could see that there was a couple screens about to be set to get the ball to Kemba, and it never got to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then on that final play, when Siakam poked the ball away from Lamb, It was Kawhi who was switched on to Kemba. So yeah, it was really promising that, you know, Kemba never touched the ball in those final seconds, and that's really the best you can hope for. So yeah, promising signs in terms of having the full roster. I'm sure Raptors fans are going to love the fact that, you know, Kawhi is kind of playing a few more games now, and that we finally have a full roster. So yeah, really promising to see, and I can't wait to see how this leads into the playoffs.
Yeah, this was Kawhi's first time playing 3 games in 5 days since like early January. So they've done a very good job of limiting it. And, you know, Kawhi talked on Friday after the Thunder game, long after we ended up recording the podcast. But he talked about how, you know, he was pretty happy with how the load management had gone and why they were doing it, and how the games are, you know, the games missed is not just about resting. It's about ensuring there's no injury. And he seemed pretty on board with it all. And I guess we can use that to segue into the actual meat of this podcast, which I thought was going to take up more time of it, because I figured the game against the Hornets would not have a crazy-ass finish, but lo and behold, it did. But let's get into it now. The Kawhi Leonard is staying bracket is a thing Jay and I have been working on at Raptors HQ for the last week or so. We have many posts to still write. I imagine I'll be spending a lot of tomorrow writing my part of the Sweet 16. If people aren't familiar, please go to RaptorsHQ.com and read it. But I, because of the content of the piece and the nice reception it's gotten, and because it seems like since we started it, there are even more little nuggets that should be in the bracket that aren't going to be in there that lead me to believe Kawhi might be leaning towards staying, I figured, why not have Jay on? And we kind of just talk about like the experience of sort of living on every little bit of information when it comes to Kawhi. It's been a very strange season because I've been trying so hard to stay in the moment and enjoy what's going on, but it's really hard not to sort of get carried away. You listen to any national podcast and everything is just talking about July. They don't even care about the basketball right now. You know, it's so important to the future of the team that they keep Kawhi around. It changes everything. And like, I think we can talk about this if you want. Like, I've made my peace with the thought that he might leave, and the way Pascal Siakam has played, like, I'm okay if Kawhi's not here anymore, because I feel like there's at least like a bit of a succession plan, even if it's not the same sort of elite championship contention sort of type of team that's around after Kawhi's gone. I can still make my peace with whatever the next phase is, because the last 6 years have been so damn good, and this year was so all in. But it has been a very, very strange season trying to sort of stay in the moment. Have you found that too, Jay? Or are you like constantly looking at July and like trying to put all the pieces together to make it, you know, to tell yourself that Kawhi is staying so you can sleep at night? Like, what's been your experience with it?
I think that this whole experience of Kawhi is staying is actually made the season more enjoyable. Mm-hmm. I find that I'm not actually thinking about July too much. If, for example, Kawhi had a 2-year contract and we weren't thinking about July and all we were thinking about was the season, sure, I would still enjoy it. But the fact that there is this, you know, very high risk that he's going to leave, you kind of are forced to enjoy every little thing he says and does, mm-hmm. and every little reaction he has to any simple play. And yeah, I would say that, yeah, it absolutely is making this season more enjoyable. You know, if he had come out and said, I am absolutely not going to re-sign with the Raptors, which he never actually has said, then every single game would just be a ticking time bomb towards an eventuality, right? So, I've thoroughly enjoyed this. I remember when I first thought about putting this together, it was just going to be like a paragraph or two in my wrap-up column. And I think, like, hold on a second. Like, everyone's talking about brackets now. Now is the time when you start to see brackets about, like, you know, best fast food restaurant or favorite coffee or whatever. Why don't we do one on Kawhi staying? Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you have been like the expert in terms of highlighting all of the little news tidbits about him staying. I've been collecting my own, and I was like, you know what? I got to reach out to you. We got to do this together. And I love how it's been going so far.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And yeah, this whole like experience, not only has it made me enjoy all of it, and I think we're going to look back, whatever happens, like, we're going to look back at the whole like exercise and trying to read what Kawhi's doing, and it's going to be something I think we look back on pretty fondly. And you know, it's also doing it has like totally improved my mindset. And like going in, I was like, Kawhi's probably going to leave, like 60-40, he's going to leave, to me being like fully sure and certain that he's going to stay now. It's kind of poisoned my brain doing it over the last week, kind of like all of the bits that are like kind of encouraging put into one big pile. It's been really, really good. I also like the point you made about how he never said anything, and he hasn't said anything about it at all, right? Like, he's been so chill about it, and it's so wild to me that in like 8 months, it's gone from Kyrie staying in Boston and KD is going to go for the long haul in Golden State and Kawhi is definitely leaving Toronto to Kawhi being the guy we're hearing the least about in terms of his intentions.
Yeah.
And like the whole thing with Kyrie and the Celtics and KD, like those guys feel like their departures are preordained, and it's very, very bizarre. Like it's just, I couldn't have expected it to happen that way, and I think it's made the Kawhi experience that much more enjoyable, right? Because you don't have the constant like fretting and worrying over what they're going to say, you know, the next day in practice or whatever. Like, because you just kind of know Kawhi is going to be chill and not say anything, and in that way he's like a very easy superstar to root for, as opposed to, you know, some of these other guys who are a little bit more, you know, trade requesty or a little bit more outspoken with just sort of the, I don't want to say they're like laying their plans out for Bear, but like, I don't know, it feels like they sometimes kind of are. And Kawhi has not done that. And so I guess like the mystery of it has made it a lot more exciting, because if you're a Celtics fan, or in particular a Warriors fan, like I can't imagine getting excited about the thought of them staying, because like it just feels like it's already going to set you up for heartbreak, because it feels like they're just definitely going to be gone.
Yeah, and it's funny because like the way in which you said that makes perfect sense, because the whole, if you look at the opposite of the Kawhi thing, that let's say there's a Kawhi is leaving ship, what facts are there other than
Chris Haynes?
What people, yeah, exactly. Chris Haynes, he's going, and even when that news came out about him buying that house, which was 2.5 hours out of Staples Center, I mean, that's not really news, right? So the Kawhi staying bandwagon is just filled with facts. And it's funny, because when we were putting this together, I think the first thing I said to you was something along the lines of like, yeah, I'm sure we can string together like 16 facts. And then as I started like looking through my timeline, you started compiling yours too. I think if we had a little bit more time, we probably could have got up to 64, but yeah. You know, 32 is quite a lot. And even that was just like, just narrowing it down to 32 was fun all on its own. So yeah. And there's one thing I actually wanted to ask you about is that, throughout this process, you know, we've been getting all kinds of comments about the article, and to your point, it has been well received. But the one that gets on my nerves is, I don't know if it really gets on my nerves, but like there are some who are saying it's a joke. Like they're like, oh, I understand this is a joke article, but it's really good read, and it's fun, whatever. And I kind of take that personally, because I'm like, I'm not joking. Like, I actually believe this, right? I think he is actually going to stay. Like, I didn't just write this because I wanted to just get some laughs out of you. Like, I don't know if you feel the same way, but like when I heard that, I was like, oh, I really feel that way, actually.
Yeah, I've been cautiously optimistic all year. I've been, a lot of the stuff I've done, like the he's staying jokes that I like continually flow out of the timeline, like a lot of those have been, you know, with tongue in cheek for sure. Because it's so hard, because we don't know anything about Kawhi, right? So it is hard to like feel confident in anything, because we don't really know what he's thinking. But like I said, like over the last week and a half, going through all the little bits of information, like it has very much improved my outlook on it, and I do kind of think he's staying now, man. And honestly, I think the thing that really got me, and maybe we sound like ranting, raving lunatics to people who are tuning in who aren't Raptors fans, but the thing that really sort of changed my opinion was after we did the bracket, actually. Brian Windhorst on his podcast last week, he, you know, Brian Windhorst knows stuff, and he likes to make a point of that, saying that he knows stuff and won't report stuff. But like, there was a conversation with him and Tim McMahon last week on their podcast, and McMahon kind of made the allusion like, oh yeah, Kawhi's definitely going to the Clippers. And just the way Brian Windhorst went, I don't know. Kawhi seems to be doing okay. And it's gone about as well as they ever possibly could have hoped for in Toronto. like when Windhorse has that sort of reservation, because he's usually very steadfast when it comes to like, oh yeah, LeBron's going to the Lakers or whatever, or you know, Kyrie's going to the Knicks, or KD's going to the Knicks, whatever it is. Like, he usually, I feel like he knows stuff, and maybe this is me looking way too into a 10-second clip on a podcast, but it is. Like, I think right now, if we had done the bracket starting this week, that would be, like, the number one thing for me in one of the brackets, in one of the regions for sure. Because it just, when Windhorse says it, I kind of, my ears perk up a little bit, because that dude knows stuff.
Yeah, and you even kind of alluded to this earlier in terms of Hayden saying that, yeah, he's definitely going to L.A., There's a lot more credibility when Windhorse's name is attached to it, right? And I think the other, what I would add to that too, is that since we have started this bracket, that's not the only item I would add to the bracket, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, just this week alone, with what Paul George had said to Kawhi, or I guess didn't say to Kawhi, or whatever their secret conversation was about, I mean, I definitely would have added that to the bracket. I mean, there are little things.
Yeah, I'm hesitant about that one. I'm kind of hesitant. I don't know. I don't know what to read to that one. Yeah, I would have like. I think it would have lost in the first round for me at least. It's not concrete enough because we don't actually know what the conversation was.
Okay. So yeah, that's not like one seed worthy, but maybe it's bracket worthy.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the other thing is that like I think it's. This whole Kawhi staying thing is like it's becoming like I don't want to make it sound like it's such a big thing, but for me at least it's like a phenomena, right? It's just snowballing now. Every little thing that's coming out now, we're just adding it to the Kawhi staying like checklist or whatever it is. So I love how it's grown, and yeah, we jokingly say this, but it's like, man, we have enough to make like an NIT bracket or something because it just keeps piling up.
Yeah, there was the conversation he had with reporters on Friday about the load management stuff. There was today him wearing Jurassic Park themed shoes. Give me that. Just so shoot beautiful. That shit right into my veins, man. Like, I know shoes are, you know, he's got a lot of different colorways and everything, but it's expensive to make shoes. It's expensive to design them. Like, New Balance has to be like, yeah, we can design. Like, this isn't going to be something you wear three times. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's not how shoes work. I don't know shit all about shoes, but feels like to me, a pragmatic shoes person who has one pair of shoes that I wear, that seems like an expensive investment to get new ones made. So that would be in the bracket for me as well, for sure. That's a second dinosaur shoe. Like, he didn't have to go get a second dinosaur shoe. He had one already. So I don't know. I like also how he has the Jurassic Park font, not Times New Roman. That's nice. It's good. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you were kind of saying this earlier in terms of like you're speaking about what's already in the bracket. Mm-hmm. If and we obviously can't add in the Windhorse quote now, but like if you had to, I guess, pick a favorite, like I can't even say who's the Duke of the bracket because they almost lost it, but like who's the favorite for you?
This is such a hard one. I've been trying to think about this coming into this podcast. I think it's Pascal Siakam being really good now is kind of where I'm landing so far. We'll see if it makes it through the bracket. I know it won its first round matchup, but like the entire landscape of the NBA is about stars teaming up with other stars and other good players to try to win titles. And I'm not saying Pascal Siakam is yet there as like a dude who is sort of on that, you know, star, you know, plane or whatever, but he's getting damn close. He's been so insanely good lately, and it's getting kind of ridiculous that this guy who was like a bench dude last year, who was a very good bench dude, a very like enjoyable bench dude to watch, who averaged like 7 points a game, is now putting up 17 with or so over the last, what's he got here? Oh God, come on, NBA.com, work with me here, please. Over the last like 15 games, he's averaging like 27-5. Like he's
amazing.
It's ridiculous. 27-4. Sorry. Like it's absurd what he's doing, and it's on like 62% true shooting. Like, it doesn't feel like he's a superstar per se, but those are like star numbers. Those are star numbers. Like, they're like undeniably star numbers. And I think Siakam being that good, like he's better than anyone on the Clippers right now. If the Clippers are the team that we're assuming it's either Clippers or Raptors, if the Clippers are the team they're up against, yes, they have another max spot, but there are a lot of free agents out there this summer, and the odds that they can bring in someone as good as Pascal Siakam seem pretty slim to me. And so I just think, for me, Siakam developing into this like monster, like I think it would have been nice to play with Kyle Lowry another year if you're Kawhi, and then kind of figure it out after that. But like, to have a guy who, you know, was like under team control for a long time, that I think kind of changes the calculus a little bit. If I'm making the decision of where I want to play, playing on the team that has Pascal Siakam as well seems like a pretty good gig. I don't know. What's your favorite right now?
Oh man, I really like that one. I don't know. I'm just taking a look at how this bracket might play out, and it has a possible tough foe in the final four against who I really like is the Lowry and Kawhi best buds.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I think that one's gonna do really well. But if I had to look on the other side of the bracket, I think the Surge one, Surge just as an all around amazing doing the Lord's work teammate. I don't know how that, especially like, I don't know how it loses, because especially when the episode comes out, the How Hungry Are You, right? I think it was you that jokingly said like that should be released on July 1st. I was howling because I'm like, that would be perfect. I
mean, yeah. It's like, are you staying? And then it's just yes, and then the episode ends.
And that's it. Mic drop, you know? Like, that's it. Yeah. That's the entire episode. But that's the great part of that is, and now it has me thinking, right? That with all this, this the entirety of this bracket, this whole experience combined with Serge's teaser, I mean, wouldn't it be great if he just flat out said, I'm staying before we hit the playoffs, to kind of put the whole team at ease, to kind of give them that extra boost going into the playoffs when they're already, you know, firing on all cylinders and in a great position to make a real run at it. I mean, you look at the Bucks having their third big injury of the week happening with Powell. Powell Gasol really isn't that big, but that's already a third big injury this week. The Celtics, I mean, I think Irving had complained again about something that Stevens did yesterday. So everything is
the horde is just causing chaos, man. God damn it!
But I mean, it just feels like things are all falling into place for the Raptors right now. If I had to pick any time of the year when they finally have the full roster, and this only is the third time all season we've had this. Hey, give it to me on the 73rd or 74th game of the season and moving forward. So, like I said, I think everything's kind of falling into place. And Serge's well-timed teaser is a favorite for me. So I think maybe that one's there. This is my favorite.
Yeah, and also, look, man, I wrote about this in the piece. If you haven't read it, I'll just like kind of reiterate what I said there. That whole teaser of Ibaka asking Kawhi if he's staying, I don't think that gets published without Kawhi being like, yeah, that's cool. Like, it's obviously done to create buzz. It is done as a hype machine. And I just don't think Serge is dumb enough to be like, yeah, I'm just going to play it fast and loose with Kawhi's free agency and just post this thing even though he doesn't want me to. Kawhi is very much part of the bit, I think, at least, unless there's like very eloquent and fantastic editing going on there, but... Eloquent? Elegant. That's the word I'm looking for. God damn. English is hard. That's kind of where I'm at on that. Like, it's just, it feels, the momentum, I agree. Things are kind of falling into place. The team is looking pretty good right now. Even though they've lost a couple here, they've had some very promising signs, I think, from each of those games. And I am feeling better than I ever have. What would you say based on, we'll wrap this up here, like, based on where you were at the start of the season and your sort of optimism level to where you are now, like, how much has it changed?
At the start of the season, it was already, it was a little bit higher than other people's thoughts were. I was probably already at 50% to start the season. But as the season progressed, I'm probably in the, like, 90% range now, probably even more. I think the only thing holding back a decision is how well we do in the playoffs, which is really the the all that we were waiting for all season anyways. Mm-hmm. But it's good to know that everything else that could have gone well in terms of the whole load management thing, and I can basically list off all 32 of the different things they have in the bracket, but all 32 of those items plus the other, you know, 30, 40 ones that even make the bracket all have kind of put us in the spot where it's like, really all that's left, and this is a big ask, but really all that's left is us to just perform well in the playoffs. That doesn't necessarily mean we have to win the championship or even make the finals. I think that if we show enough there, I think at the very least, he's got to at least consider it. And, you know, it's been amazing, because I guess the reason why I was at 50% to start the season was, if he wasn't on the team, you get an audition with the team, right? And that's the advantage that the Raptors would have over everyone. It doesn't matter if he openly said, and he never did openly say he wanted to go to LA, but like, even if he did want to, you've got him under control for an entire season to just win him over. And that's what the Raptors have been doing from all angles, from the business side, several different teammates doing their own part. So yeah, I mean, I'm at 90% at least. So
Oh baby. Yeah. I'm feeling pretty good too. The playoffs, I think, will ultimately kind of, like, it's a shame we can't do Raptors made the finals as one of the one seeds to go into the bracket, because that would probably be the one seed overall ahead of Serge Ibaka's existence. But I agree. I'm feeling pretty good. I was probably like slightly below 50-50 to start the year, but I was also like very cognizant that Masai is a person I want to be pitching me something, like, or to pitching something to someone I want to accept what he's selling, right? Like, the dude's a pitch man. The dude is just got a way of like making you believe in a lot of things. Like, he's just like his media day speech for me is one of the dark horses in the tournament. We'll see how it does up against the quote that says Toronto has great energy from Kawhi earlier on this season. That'll be a big heavyweight matchup in the round of 16 of the bracket. But Masai's media day speech is and just sort of his ability to sort of sell what the Raptors are and sell being in Toronto. Like, he said all along, right? Like, someone's going to figure it out. Someone's going to realize this is the place that you want to be as a superstar. And maybe he's done it. Like, maybe he's found that dude ahead of schedule. It's very exciting. It's very much enriched the fan experience this season, whether or not he stays or not. Like, I've enjoyed following this and sort of living and dying with this all year long, because it's a very different season than I can ever remember rooting for, but in its difference it's made it fun, like the way it's been so vastly different from a lot of seasons, especially when you consider that the last few seasons were so sort of similar in structure, right? Where it's like, hey, positivity, good times, good feelings, hey, maybe they can do it in the playoffs, done, bye, LeBron kills you. Like, I kind of like that it's a little different this year, and the Kawhi thing has been a big part of that. Jay, thank you so much for joining the podcast, man. This was great. Do you have anything you would like to plug, any parting shots, or do you just want to go to sleep? Because I want to go to sleep.
Well, thanks for having me on. I'll try to plug, obviously, the upcoming rest of the bracket that'll be coming out later on this week. I'm wrapping up the wrap-up for this week, and then I've got one final one next week, and that's it. Like, I've got no more wrap-ups to write, so it's kind of a depressing feeling to know that weekly article is done, but I'll find something else to write during the playoffs. But yeah, we've got this bracket to look forward to. I can't wait, and thanks for joining me along this ride. This has been really fun so far. I can't wait to see how this kind of ends up.
It's been extremely fun content to do, I gotta say. As far as content goes, this is pretty primo stuff. Please find the podcast, subscribe, rate, review, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, as well as Himalaya, the brand new podcast app that helps you curate your own playlists and personalize your podcast experience. Himalaya, make sure you download the app and listen to the podcast there and the entire Locked On Podcast Network as well. I also have an article up at Raptors HQ right now. I wrote on Sunday about the Thunder loss on Friday. It's the latest What Didn't Suck. I kind of talked about how it was very playoffy, that game. It had some playoff vibes, and I liked kind of what we saw with regards to that in that game Friday, so I wrote about that stuff. And then I'm not going to do a What Didn't Suck about the Hornets game because I just don't have time tomorrow, but we will have, I don't know, the bracket on Wednesday and Friday. There's a lot of stuff coming out. The playoffs are coming soon. The malaise is almost over. We're almost got to the point where it's cool and fun again, and the games are going to matter very soon. So thanks so much to everyone for tuning in, and we will talk to you next time on Locked On Raptors.